Good morning. How's everybody doing? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is here with us. Praise the Lord. I am excited about the deeper service. If you've never been to one, you need to come. It's different than a Sunday service. We don't have a message. We just spend time in the presence of the Lord. How many believe God still does miracles? We just need to create an environment for that. We worship, and then we're going to pray for the sick, and then we're going to believe for the gift of prophecy, for prophetic words, which encourage you. And every time we have them, people are just blown away. They're like, wow, that's so. If you've never been, come. If you've been, come again. It's going to be exciting. So that's this next Sunday, a week from today at 6 p.m. It's going to be great. Well, let me give you an update on our move to Gainesville. All right. So last week, 2 weeks ago, we gave out pledge cards to say we had to raise $55,000. 1 week ago, I told you we had a buyer for the land. And then on Tuesday, the buyer backed out. So the buyer, you know, that deal is off. So hopefully a lot of you already know about that. We tried to get information out and let you know that we're back in plan A. So it's okay. Do you know what? God already knew that that was going to happen. And we're still going to move. Amen. So we're back to plan A, which is, and a lot of the emails that went out and information was, you know, you can go ahead and bring your pledge cards today. We also have new pledge cards, so if you threw yours away as per instructions last week and you need another one, the ushers have some, so if you don't have a pledge card, raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. It also has a new date, target date, because now we're, you know, we changed that a little bit. So it's, I will for sure give, and then you put in the amount, pray, ask God, and put the amount that he, and this is not like a faith promise, maybe, I hope, but for sure, that what you could give by October 21st. Now, if you can give sooner, go ahead. If you want to change that date and put a different date, go ahead. And then just put your name on it. This is not a legal document. Don't sign it. We're not coming after you. We just need to know where we're at. So let me just give you a quick rundown of things that I've given you. I'm not going to go through everything. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, please go to the website. And that's where I explain everything, hopefully answered all questions. So it's on the website. You can watch that, you know, why we're in all the details. But here's a picture of the building. It's right here on 13th Street or 441 going north. After you cross the prairie on the right, it says Sports Bar. Used to be called Art of Billiards. Before that, it was a publishing. Before that, it was an office building. And that's the building right there. The next slide shows our new logo, I think. We still have that one. It was just up a minute ago. But that's going to go where it says Sports Bar. We're going to put Victory Church. This is a logo that Jenny designed for us a couple years ago, but we didn't have the money to change the sign. So that, and where it says Sports Bar, just picture Victory Church instead of Sports Bar. The next picture is the layout or the floor plan of the current building. It's pretty much open. And the next picture shows you the way it will look when we're done, sanctuary, kids' rooms, lobby, and so forth. So we're going to fix up the outside. We're going to fix up the inside. We have to create walls. We have to create sanctuary. The budget for that is $55,000. Again, all the details are on the video. That and that 55 is we need a contractor to do some of the work. The permits have to be pulled. Some of it has to be done by licensed people. We're counting on us doing a lot of the work ourselves, but there's a lot of materials involved. So that's our budget, 55. We could easily spend 100 or 150, but 55 will get us in there, make it work, and have kids' room. It will be great. So that's what we're believing for. That's what we're praying for. That's what these cards are all about. You put down what you can do. And I'm sure we could do it. I know we're going to be able to do it because this is the Father's business. It's all about winning souls and making disciples, getting back to Gainesville where we started, where we were averaging 145 souls a year. In Gainesville, we average 50 a year in Micanopy. So that's, we need to get back where the people are. And I just felt like the word that the Lord gave me, I'll be honest with you, I got kind of discouraged when the guy backed out. And we're going to talk about that today in our message, because how many of you know life is full of discouraging opportunities? It's called earth. It's called life. When we get to heaven, that won't happen. It'll be perfect. On earth, it's not perfect. There's things that don't go the way we wanted them to go. But as I prayed and sought the Lord, I felt like God said, move forward. Move forward. You know, it's like, well, what are you trusting in? I'm trusting in God. So we're just going to move forward. And I felt like he said this, if you move forward, you'll see the provision of God. So we're going forward. And I thought of two things that came to me. One was how Jesus told the disciples to go feed 15,000 people. It said 5,000 men, so it's about 15,000 people. He said, what do you got? He said, I got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, go feed these people. I kind of feel like that's where we're at. And God, and when they were done, they picked up 12 baskets left over. They didn't start with 12 baskets. They didn't start with 100 baskets. They started with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They started with what they had. And I felt like that was God was saying, just do it. You know, so he's telling disciples. And I'm sure they could have gone, well, you know, and they did to a certain extent. Well, you know, but they could have refused to go out and do it. But they didn't. They did it. And then when they came back, they brought 12 baskets full of scraps, leftovers, after everybody ate. And then I thought about, I just felt like the Lord, you know, brought this to my remembrance, was the people of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness. They want to go to the promised land, right? And the Jordan, the Bible says, was overflowing its banks at this time of the year. The Jordan is a very muddy, dirty river. It moves fast, and it's overflowing its banks. And they had to cross it with millions of people, women, children, cattle. They had to cross this river. There's no bridge, no pontoon boats. They got to cross this river. Now, what's that? It's impossible. But the river didn't part until they stepped into it. That was what was interesting. He told them to carry the ark, put the ark first, and they went and they walked right into the river, and after they got in the river, it parted. And it just felt like that was two things God said. They passed out the food before there was enough. They walked into the river before it parted. And I just felt like God was saying, move forward, and you'll see the provision of God. And that's what we're doing. The lawyers are working out the details on the lease. We're gonna do it. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Are you with us on that? I mean, we said this a year and a half ago. I mean, we never ever planned to be here this long, but a year and a half ago, we said we have got to move back to Gainesville, and that's what we're in the process. God has opened this door. I believe the deal that we have is miraculous, because I can't find any place in Gainesville. This kind of a deal. You know, Rob Kincannon was here last week. You know, him and his family, they moved to North Carolina, and he paid us a visit. They still have the house here for sale, but he lives about a half a mile from the new building. And he told me last week, he didn't even know about all this, and he found out about it last week. And he says, I've been driving by that building for like 20 years. And he says, ever since it was a nightclub and a bar and the Art of Billiards, he says, every time I drove by it for years, I've been praying over that building to become a church. And then somebody else in our church told me that about a year ago, the Lord told them that we were going to have a church in that building. So we're getting confirmations, just the way that it happened. We see God moving. So I believe the word is move forward, you know, do it, and I'll provide. Amen? Amen. So how many of you will pray about your part and then just do what God tells you to do? And we're going to make it. Amen? Amen. All right. There's sermon notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra copy, raise your hand. The ushers have an extra one that they would love to give you. Praise God. Here, the title of my message is this. It's always too soon to quit. It's always too soon to quit. Now, there's some stuff in your life that you need to quit. I'm not talking about those things, bad habits or unforgiveness or things that you want to break, habits you want to break. I'm talking about it's always too soon to quit the things of God. Things like reading your Bible and you want to quit. It's always too soon to quit reading your Bible. things like praying. It's always too soon to quit. Maybe you've been believing for somebody, praying for somebody, praying for a loved one, and believing for them to come and for things to change and circumstances to change. It's always too soon to quit praying for that person. Or giving. Maybe you feel like you've been giving and you haven't got the results that you expected. I'm telling you, it's always too soon to quit giving. It's always too soon to quit serving. Maybe you've been serving and maybe you don't see the results that you thought you were going to get, or you're getting weary, or you're getting tired. I'm here to tell you, it's always too soon to quit doing the things that God wants you to do. It's too soon to quit doing good and giving and serving and going to church. And it's always too soon to quit believing. Are you believing something for something in your life? Believing for somebody, believing for an answer. It's always too soon to quit trusting God. It's always too soon to quit trusting God. Holding on to the promise of God. Do you have a promise in your heart? Something you're believing for, something you believe God spoke to you days, months, maybe years, maybe decades ago. It's always too soon to let that promise go. I can tell you there have been many things that I've believed for and then believed for, and at some point you get weary and you get tired and you think maybe I missed it, or maybe God's got something else, or it's just okay. And I've had a couple of those circumstances in my life where it looked for sure like it was over and done, it wasn't going to happen. And I told God, I said, it's okay. And God said, it's not okay. Don't quit. And I released my faith as if to, you know, say, it's all right. You know, when I get to heaven, no. And God said, no, I gave you a word, hang on to it. And I picked my faith back up. Come on, there's some people here today. You need to pick your faith back up. And do you know what? What looked like a certainty, like it wasn't going to happen, it happened. Things in my life. I could go through the details. I don't want to do that because I got a lot of ground to cover today. But I'm telling you, this is reality. This is how it works. If there's anything worth believing for, the devil will attack it, will come against you. And there will be lots of opportunities to quit, to let your faith go. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the things of God come to pass through faith, faith and patience. So you can't let your faith go. It's always too soon to quit believing. Waiting for what God told you. Has God told you something was going to happen? There will always be opportunities to quit. There'll be opportunities. The devil will make sure that there comes times and opportunities in your life where he says, okay, it's over, it's done, let it go. I'm here to tell you today, don't let it go. If it's from God, hang on to it. I know the feeling of wanting to quit. I can't tell you how many times those things, I mean, this is life, right? I remember back in 2002, my back, I had been, you know, dealing with some back pain for years, but in 2002, there was a four-week period, I couldn't get out of bed without help. I couldn't walk. It was terrible. I was taking all kinds of painkillers and muscle relaxers and anti-inflammatories and whatever, all those, I mean, I don't even know what they all were, and they start wearing on you, but it didn't touch the pain. And you know what, after a while, you just get to a point where it's like, I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. I wanted to quit. After about 3 weeks, I wanted to quit, but I'm thank God that after 4 weeks, God healed me. So it's always too soon to quit, but there's been hundreds and hundreds of opportunities and things and days and things that I wanted to quit and quit just in every area of life. There have been opportunities to quit. And the areas of opportunity to quit, I believe it can be divided into two categories. Things that are there's the real and then there's the perceived. What I mean by that is like the pain in my back was real. It wasn't like, well, I think I have pain. It was for sure. But there have been a lot of opportunities in my life where I wanted to quit because of, for instance, it's like all of a sudden, everything's going fine. Things are going, you know, life is tough, but we're going to make it. And then you get a phone call and it's like, I quit, right? Now, I'm the same person, but because somebody spoke some words, some circumstances have changed, something's going to happen, and it just triggers something in your mind where you go, that's it, that's it. Dang it, after all this, come on, that's it, I've had it, I want to quit. and you get in there, and you maybe you stay there for a while, and then you get another phone call that says, oh, such and such, and you hang up the phone, and you go, oh, it's going to be all right. Now, just think about that. Nothing has changed physically or inside of me, but my perception has changed. My perception of the future, my perception of what's going to happen was what made me almost just want to just give up. And then some other words made me turn around and believe that we can make it. So what I'm saying on that is it's all about our perspective of who's behind us and what's going to happen in the future. It's all about how much we believe the Word of God, because God's already said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to get you through this thing. Did it have to be a person, tell me, that changed my perspective and made me believe? Couldn't I just go to the Word and say, you know what? It's okay. I'm going to make it. And I found that I can do that. I can strengthen myself in the Lord like David did at Ziklag. He says he built himself up in the Lord. And I found out I can go to the Word of God no matter what that first phone call says. I can make a phone call to heaven and hear from God on the hotline from the Word of God and say, it's going to be okay, and change my perspective anyway like that. Before the second phone call comes, I'll make the phone call to God and hear from God and change my perspective right then and there. Does that make sense to anybody? You know what I'm talking about. I want to put this into perspective. This is a true story about a man who was a businessman that had a downturn in his business. Things just weren't going well. He had two major suppliers, and they cut him off. They said, you're too far behind in your payments, your business is not doing good. We're not supplying you any more product. He was so discouraged, so distraught, he walked down to the local bridge that went across a large gorge, and he was going to jump off that bridge. Don't raise your hand, but you ever felt like that? Come on. I understand that feeling. It's like, I don't want to. I just can't. No. That's it. And he was standing on the edge of the bridge, and a man walked up on the bridge and said, what are you doing? And so he told the man the story. And the man said, well, how much money do you owe those guys? And he told him. The man reached in his back pocket and pulled out a checkbook and wrote him a check for that exact amount. And he says, here, go pay your bills. The man on the bridge looked at the check, and the name was John Getty, who he knew to be the richest man in that area. He went back and he called his creditors and sat them down, and he put the check on the table. And both of them went, okay. I didn't know, you know, John Getty was your friend and he's your backer. And they said, we'll open up your line of credit. They reopened up his line of credit, and things started going all right. He made some adjustments to his business, and he was able to pay them off. And a year later, he was in business. He was doing well. He had paid off his creditors. And do you know, he never cashed that check. So he made an appointment. He went to the office of John Getty, and he walked in there, and it wasn't the man that had given him the check. It was a different man. He said, wonder. He went back to the bridge at the same time in the evening when he was going to jump off the bridge, and sure enough, here comes that same man, came walking up. And he said, do you remember when you gave me that check? And the guy looked at him and says, who are you? I've never seen you before. He didn't remember anything about it. And the man turned, and he walked, and he went into a building. So the businessman followed him, and there was a person at the door, and he said, what is this place? He said, this is an insane asylum. And he said, do you know that man? He said, yeah, I know him. That's Mr. Getty. What's his name? John Getty. And the guy said, does he have any money? He said, no. He's a ward of the state. He's been here for 10 years. He has no money. But that's his name. That was his name, and that was a check that was absolutely no good. That no good check saved that man's life and turned his business around. And I just been thinking about that. It was only the perception of somebody backing him that changed everything, changed the other people, changed his life, and caused him to be a success rather than a failure. It's the perception. And you and I live in the same kind of, it's our perception. When you get that bad phone call, we create a certain perception that says, I'm not going to make it. But if we know who's backing us, who actually owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the hills and the earth and the silver and the gold is his, the earth is the Lord's, and he says, I'm behind you, that will get you through every situation of life. Amen. It's all about our perspective. Sometimes the things that get us down are real, like real physical pain. And some of them are just our projection of the future and our expectation of what might happen. Now, Friday, I was talking to Pastor Scott Hornsby, one of the overseers of our church. We have overseers that oversee our church. And, of course, I'm keeping them abreast, up to date on everything that's happening and talking to them and getting input, you know, what we should do and not do. And, of course, he knew that we were getting the building and then that we had a buyer and then that the buyer backed out. And he called me Friday and he said, you know, when you send me that text that the buyer backed out, he said, all these things went through my mind, and he began to tell me. He said, every time that we as a church have made a move, something like this happens. And he just began to tell me story after story about buying a building and buying land and renovating and working with the city. And he says, every time something like this happens. And he said, I don't want you to get discouraged. I want you to realize that there is a devil loose. And when you're moving in the power of God and in the will of God, the devil won't just sit back and play dead and let you have it. He's going to throw a roadblock. He's going to try to get you to give up. And he said, I'm just here today to tell you, don't give up. And he said, I want to give you my 7 steps to breakthrough. And he had no idea that I already prepared this message where I'm going to talk to you about Naaman, who dipped 7 times in the river, and he gave me these, and here's the 7 steps. He said, based on my 40 years of ministry, and every time I tried to do something, there was an obstacle, and he said, I've come up with 7 steps to breakthrough. He said, the first step to breakthrough is, 1 is excitement. You get excited because something good's going to happen. Anybody ever been there? Somebody tells you, I'm excited, something good's going to happen. The second step is planning, just like we did with the church or this new building. We're excited. This is a great location. It's a great opportunity. Now let's plan. Let's design the walls. Let's start picking colors. Let's start figuring out planning, right? Anybody ever been through this process? And then 3 is longing. You begin after you have the plans and you've got the blueprints on paper. There's a longing. Oh, I just can't wait to get there. And now the next one, hold on now, next one is when things get a little different here. 4 is disappointment. That's going to be the next thing. After you've excited and then you planned and then you start longing, then the next thing that happens is there's disappointment. The shutdown, the letdown, the setback, the bad news, the phone call, something, right? Disappointment. Anybody relate? The next thing that happens is misery. I'm just going to be honest with you. This week, on Tuesday, I went from disappointment to misery. Facing tough times does not define you. How you handle that will define and determine where you go from there. It's okay to go through tough times. It's okay to want to give up. It's what you do. It's whether you give up. And I'm here today to tell you it's always too early to give up. It's okay to be put in a place where you want to give up, because the next step, 6, is you want to give up. And I tell you, I'm just being honest with you, I wanted to give up. It's like, come on, God, come on. And you want to give up. Now, right there, when you're there, that determines how you're going to make it through life, whether or not you give up. Because I can tell you, I've been in this spot thousands of times wanting to give up, but so far I haven't, praise God. And I think once you experience and learn and you make up in your mind you're not going to give up, you won't give up, you'll never give up, and you make up your mind and you say, I will never give up, they're going to have to put me in the ground, but I'm not giving up, I'm going to hang in there, if it hair lips the devil, if anything, I don't care what happens, I'm going to keep believing, I'm not going to give up, doggone it. You got to have that in your heart. And then 7 is breakthrough. When you don't give up, you hang in there and you keep going, you're going to get a breakthrough. I'm here to tell you today, you're going to break through. You're going to make it. Where are you today in this progression? Where are you? Maybe something's exciting. I don't want to say something bad, but it's going to happen. But in the vagaries of life and the challenges of life, there comes the time of disappointment and then misery and the wanting to give up. And you got to make up your mind now, today, that whenever that comes and whenever that happens, you are not going to shrink back and give up. Where are you today? It's always too soon to give up. Abraham and Sarah, they wanted children more than anything in life, and they're 70. He's 75 and she's 65, and the Bible says she's way past childbearing age, and they've never been able to have a child when they were young and healthy. And God says, I'm going to give you a child at 75. And you figure, at 75 and 65, it better be soon, right? But God waited 25 years, and the Bible says Abraham grew strong in faith, believing that God would do what he said he could do. He never gave up, and he's 100. I'm glad he didn't give up at 80. And he just, maybe he said, well, it didn't happen this year, but by the time I'm 80, he didn't give up at 80 or 85 or 90 or 95 or 99. The Bible says he kept on believing, and you and I have to keep on believing when it's already impossible and it looks more impossible. God somehow gets the glory out of waiting until he can really get the glory out of the situation. He never gave up. He had to wait 25 years, and then he had the son of the promise. And now we get to this man Naaman that I told you about. Let's pick it up in 2 Kings. Maybe you never read Kings, 1st or 2nd Kings. You might want to read it this week when you get back, because I'm not going to read the whole story. But in chapter 5 and verse 1, this man named Naaman, who was a captain of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man. He was highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. He's got a problem. He's got a challenge. He's successful in a lot of ways, but there's another way. There's something that he'd like to change in his life. Can anybody relate? He was a leper. You understand leprosy in those days, there's no cure, there's no treatment. It started at some point, usually on the extremities, and then you usually lost fingers or toes, or a lot of times your nose or your ears, you'd lose it once it started. It couldn't be stopped. You had to keep your distance. It was very contagious. It was very painful. You're losing. It's bad. It's a bad situation. This is this man, Naaman. Verse 6, and he brought the letter to the king of Israel. So the king of Aram heard that miracles were happening in Israel, that there was a God in Israel. So he sends a letter to the king of Israel about his man Naaman. He sends a letter to the king of Israel saying, and now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, am I a God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel with me. Because he knows I'm just a person. I can't fix this guy of his leprosy. He must be wanting to go to war. In verse 8, it says, it happened when Elisha, this is the Elijah, was the mentor of his son in the faith, Elisha. So he asked for a double anointing. So he's a prophet of God in Israel, this Elisha. And when it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Boy, he's got some confidence, doesn't he? Do you know it's okay to be confident in God, in God's power, and what God can? If somebody asks you to pray for them, don't say, no, 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 no. Say, come on, come on. I'm just me, and I can't heal anybody, but I know a God that heals, and I'm going to do my part. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, and they shall just, whatever the situation, don't prevent God from doing what he can do through you. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. How many of you ever read this story before? Okay, this is a good story. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. I just thought it was funny. He gave me the 7 steps. Because 7 times means you can quit anytime. 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you will be clean. But watch what happens. But Naaman was furious and went away and said, behold. Now what? So where's his opportunity to be healed? It's there.
But he went away. So well, what happens? You think he's going to get healed going away? There'll be opportunities in your life to go away. He went away. Why? Because I thought for surely, in other words, the healing process that you're telling me is not what I had in mind. And I'm here to tell you today, the path that God has for you for success in your life is not what you had in mind. I can tell you where I'm at today, and when God spoke to me when I was 21 years old that I would be in the ministry, the path to get from there to here is not what I had in mind. Nothing about success ever looks like what you think it's going to look like. Will never be what you had in mind, because it's in the mind of God, and it's going to take beyond your ability and what you can conceive, and it's going to take faith, and it's almost always going to be something you didn't really want to do, or where you wanted to go, or how you wanted to get there. And that's the test, and that's the test for Naaman right here. He says, I thought for surely he'd come out and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hand over me and cure it. He said, this is the way it's supposed to work. He's just supposed to wave his hand. This is what I had figured out. He's wave his hand, but he wants me to go dip in the Jordan River. That's not what I had in mind. I'm not going to do it because it's not the way I want it. Whoo, oh my, come on. Let's look at our lives. Maybe where you're at is not where you wanted to be, but maybe it's where God wants you to be. And he said, he's not even done yet. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the... Now he's getting into pride. National pride. We got better rivers than... Oh, God will go after whatever there is to go after in our lives to destroy our pride and our selfishness and our ego and our self-serving and self-seeking to get us where he wants us. Then we have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The humble, Psalm 37:11, the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. It's better than all the waters of Israel. Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. You ever been mad at God? Went away in a rage. Walked away from his healing. Walked away from his deliverance. Walked away from what he came to get. But look at this. Thank God for good friends. Everybody say, thank God for good friends. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, Father, had the prophet told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? If he told you to go out and kill 5 lions and 4 bears, wouldn't you have done it? If he told you to do something different, if it fit your plan, your agenda, your thinking, wouldn't you have done it? Got him thinking. How much more then when he says, wash and be clean? He just do it. The servants are pleading. They just love this guy. He's a good guy, but, you know, they're saying, just do it. Just do it. It's not that hard. It's just not what you wanted to do. And look what happened in verse 14. He went down and he dipped himself 7 times. And I wondered what was going on those 7 times. If he was looking for some results. Maybe the first time was just like we said, it's excitement. This is good. I got a good plan. I'm going to be better. And then the 4th time, maybe that disappointment. I don't see any change. I should be seeing something by now. I'm better than halfway there. I'm on number 4. I've dipped 4 times. And maybe on 5, maybe misery set in. And maybe on 6, maybe he was saying, and I'm sure the devil was there, just get out of this. This ain't going to work. Don't make it. Just quit. Just quit. You ever been there? Because that's the way it works. And right now in every one of our lives, there's a plan and there's a purpose and there's a destiny. And there's also a devil who's going to get you to try to quit. And it said that he went in there and he dipped 7 times. He went all the way. He dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God. And look at this. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I'm telling you, there's a plan of God in your life to get you where you need to be, but it'll never be the way that you thought it would be. It'll never be the way. When is it a good time to quit? After the 4th time, the 5th time, the 6th? No, it's never a good time to quit. And sometimes it's just like, well, it's more than 7. It's been 1,000. It's still not a good time to quit. We've been talking about moving to Gainesville. We want to move to Gainesville. I want to ask you, when is a good time to quit wanting to move to Gainesville and get back into our destiny? When is it? Can anybody tell me? You got a date, a time, when we should quit? What are you believing for in your life? What do you believe? What do you have out there? What are you believing for? When is a good time to quit? When should you quit? 3 John 1, 2 says this, the Apostle John, he says, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So they're tied together. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to prosper and be. This is Bible. How many, don't raise your hand, but how many are believing for a financial breakthrough? How many are believing for a physical? He said, prosper and be in good health. Health-wise breakthrough. You're believing for a health-wise breakthrough. Health, healing, deliverance. Be stronger. Pain to be gone. Health. And how many are believing for your soul to get out of the place where you're at, where you're in so much despair? I want to be in a better place where there's some peace and joy. Maybe it involves relationships or things beyond your control and you have. And the Bible says these are things that you can believe for. They're biblical, but you're believing. Many people, I believe everybody in this room is probably believing in some area, either financially or with your health or some kind of relationship going on. And I want to ask you, when is a good time to quit? When should you quit believing for that breakthrough? Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You have some desires in your heart that are yet fulfilled. When would be a good time to quit believing for that? Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare or blessing and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Does anybody have some hopes involved with that and believing for good things to happen? When would be a good time to quit believing for that? Matthew 16:24, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, how many here want to come after Jesus, go after Jesus, follow Jesus, be a Jesus follower, Christ follower, be like him, all right? If anyone wishes to come after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. When would be a good time to quit denying yourself? Maybe you said, you know, I've done that for so long, and now it's just, I'm just going to go after me. No, it's never a good time to quit doing something Jesus told us we had to do. When's a good time to quit denying yourself? Never. When is a good time to quit taking up your cross? There's going to be something that you have to bear, that you have to do, that's involved with your ministry. When is a good time to quit that? Never. Then follow me. When is a good time to quit following Jesus? Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through, so I'm going to quit. It's never, ever, ever a good time to quit. It's not a good time to quit. It's never a good time to quit. It's not a good time to quit. I don't care what's happened. I mean, I care what's happened, but I'm telling you, no matter what happened, yes, it is impetus in your life to say, I want to throw in the sponge and give up, but it is never a good time to quit. I'm here to tell you today, it's never a good time to quit. Jesus said the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When is a good time to quit loving God? When things just don't go, when they didn't happen, when I thought they were going to happen, when it didn't go the way I thought it should go? No. Mark 11:22, Jesus said to his disciples, they wondered what happened, and he answered saying, have faith in God. Let me ask you, when is a good time to quit having faith in God? When do you quit? You know what? I believe the best is yet to come for you, and you shall reap if you don't faint. That's what the Bible says. Don't grow weary in well-doing. He's coming back with his reward in his hand. The only question is, will you be ready? I want to read you a little story called The Road to Success, and it goes like this. See if you can relate. The road to success is not straight. There's a curve called failure, a loop called confusion, speed bumps called disappointment, red lights called enemies, caution lights called friends. You will have flats called setbacks, but if you have a spare called determination and an engine called perseverance, insurance called faith, and a driver called Jesus, you'll make it to a place called success. You got to hang in there. I want to read you an excerpt from a speech that was given by Teddy Roosevelt in 1910. I think it's applicable today. He said this, it's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievements, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Who are you going to be? Who am I going to be? The president, he's calling the people back then that we have to be in the arena. We have to keep fighting the fight of faith. He's saying, never give up. I love the message that Winston Churchill once gave to a group of graduates at whatever that big college is there in England. And he gave a three-word speech that lasted 15 minutes because he walked through the crowd and he said to every graduate, he said, never give up. Never give up. That was his words that he could leave with people graduating, going out and to fulfill the call of their life. He said, never give up. And I would say to you today, don't give up on the dream that's in your heart. The things that things will come against you. Things are going to happen that if we sat down and we talked today, I would agree with you. That's been tough, man. I've seen people go through some stuff that, that's tough, man. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven and there's a dream in your heart, and it's always too early to quit. And you just, no matter what happens, never give up. It's worth fighting for. It's a dream worth fighting for, worth waiting for. Hold on. Don't give up to the dream that God's put in your heart. There are better days left ahead. It was good that man didn't jump off that bridge. There's been thousands of times I wanted to quit. I believe it's better that I'm still here and wanting to go on. Paul wanted to quit. He talked about that. He says, you know, hey, going to heaven is looking pretty good right now. I've had a pretty hard life. There's a lot of bad things happen. And then he hashes this out in Philippians 1. He says, you know, and the way it works, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And right now I'm looking like dying. And says, that's going to be pretty good. And then he talks himself out of quitting. He says, yeah, but to stay on is better for your sake. And convinced of that, I'm going to stay on. Aren't you glad he stayed on? He continued to write the New Testament, the things that, and talk about the things. I'm glad he stayed on. He could have quit. He could have gone on to heaven. Wouldn't that be? We wouldn't fault him for that, would we? But we're glad that he stayed on and continued to write 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and other books and of the Bible that we glean so much from. And yeah, if you're a Christian, a lot of times you can say, you know, I think I'll just quit because I want to go to heaven. But you know what? There's still a destiny for your life. There's things for you to do. No matter where you're at age-wise, there's things for you to do. There's things for you to do. God, you need to fulfill your destiny and your purpose. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep believing. Keep praying. Let's pray. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Let's pray right now, because, you know, thank you, Jesus, for just working in our hearts. And I just want to pray for people right now. They want to give up. And I don't fault them. I know what that feels like. I know what it's like to want to give up. Jesus knows what it's like to want to give up. It says that he was tested in every way such as we. He had to go through every emotion that we've ever gone through. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't give up in the Garden of Gethsemane? It was hard. He said, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Aren't you glad he didn't give up and he went to the cross? And there's people counting on you not to give up. There's people around you in your sphere of influence in your life that need you. And there's destiny on the inside of you. There's calling on the inside of you. And you need to never give up. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Father, I pray for everybody right now that in our hearts, you would just bring back to life dreams maybe that people have put to rest and they said, it's been too long and no, it's not going to happen. I ask you to resurrect dreams. I ask you to put hope in everybody's heart. I ask you to put a resolve inside of every one of us to say, never give up. Don't give up. When I get to number 6 and I want to give up and everything is telling me and all my emotions are saying, just give up, that every one of us in this room will make a decision right now ahead of time to never, ever, ever give up, because the consequences are too great. And the victory is assured in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you or forsake you. It may look like it's all over and like God has forsaken you, but I'm here to tell you today, He will never leave you or forsake you. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Pray. I pray for everybody. Fill them with hope. Fill them with joy. Fill them with excitement. Put blessings upon the head of every person in this room right now and let it flow down through their body from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. I curse sickness and disease. I curse poverty and lack. I speak hope and health. I pray for relationships to be restored and to be made better. I pray for everybody in this room today. And right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for you today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? Might be here today and you say, I don't know, think so, hope so, not sure, does anybody really know? Yeah, the Bible says you need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. I went to church for 20 years. I was not a Christian because I never surrendered my life to Christ. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. That's why God brought you to church today, so that you can surrender your life to Christ. It's so simple. All you do is ask Him to forgive your sins, and He comes, lives on the inside of you, and makes you into a new person. Maybe you did that in the past, but today you're not where you want to be with God, and you want to get back on track. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or come forward, but I want to pray with you. And if either one of those two apply to you, today you want to get back on track, or today you want to be sure if you died tonight you'd go to heaven, slip up your hand real quick. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to pray for you. Just take that step of faith. Say, I mean business with God, because you know what? God means business with you. Anybody else? Thank you. All right, pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised You from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever You lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank You, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God.